Welcome to episode 130 of the Microsoft Cloud IT Pro podcast, recorded live on June 14th, 2019. This is a show about Office 365 and Azure from the perspective of IT pros and end users, where we discuss a topic or recent news and how it relates to you. In today's episode, Ben and I discuss a recent session Ben delivered at the Microsoft Teams Virtual Summit on Microsoft Teams governance and how to think about controlling and limiting the sprawl of Teams within your Office 365 tenant.
I'm back. I made it. I'm recording.
You're so happy and another year older, and you still remember how to hit the record button.
I do. I am now, I don't know. Should I tell everybody? I don't know how old I am. No, I am another year older. I had my birthday yesterday.
Yeah. You're what, 29 again, right?
I am 29 can be put into the equation that comes up to my birthday age somewhere.
Excellent. Well, at least you made it through another one and another turn around the sun, and now you get to play with your moon Legos.
I did. Yes, I barely made it through. We had sick kids, so my birthday was unique. I just took care of kids all day and worked a little bit, but I did get the Lunar Lander, Lego Lunar Lander that came out. So Lego tends to come out with these new sets right before my birthday, June 1, for whatever reason, seems to be a popular Lego day, because I think the Saturn 11 or the Saturn 5 from Apollo 11 came out on June 1 too. So conveniently, all these Legos come out about 2 weeks before my birthday. So I just say, for my birthday, order me whatever Lego sets are coming out on June 1. Or I order them and my kids wrap them up for me.
Well, at least the kids are wrapping them for you.
Yes. No, it was a good day, even though the kids were sick. The neighbors came over too with a cake and sang happy birthday. Like, someone started pounding on our door at 9 o'clock last night. We're like, who is pounding on our door at 9 o'clock? Our kids are sick. We just want to go to bed. But it was the neighbors with a birthday cake singing happy birthday.
Well, that was nice of them.
So it was. We have good neighbors. It was fun. So I also did, right before my birthday, speaking of my birthday, the Microsoft Teams Virtual Summit. We've been talking about it. It actually happened the day before my birthday and on my birthday. But I had a session the day before my birthday on Microsoft Teams governance that we have talked about in the past, and we figured maybe we'd just do a recap of that session. It was an hour-long session, so obviously we won't fit it all in the podcast. However, if you go and buy one of the all-access passes to the conference, you will have unlimited viewing of not just that session, but the other, I think there were 12, 13, maybe 13 other sessions. It was somewhere in there. 11, 12, 13 other sessions that were also done that day around IT pro stuff, around, there were some compliance sessions, just overall general, this is Teams sessions. There was one on the whole voice video calling aspect of Teams. So a lot of really good sessions in there that you can go grab if you want to.
Awesome. Yeah, no, it looked like it was a fun time and everybody was getting, lots of questions, and you had the opportunity to answer lots of questions. But I'm excited to talk about this one because there's lots of moving pieces with Teams. And I think we have talked about some of this stuff in the past, but it's always changing, and new workloads come and workloads go, and things are gated by licensing or per user entitlements. So where do you think about kind of sprawl within environments and managing that and dialing it back, and then regulations, compliance, anything that comes into play there? There's just tons of moving parts.
Yeah, exactly. And that was kind of the gist of this presentation, was Teams is one of those hot topics. It's one of the fastest growing ones, but there's a lot of things you can do in Teams. And how I kind of started off the session, and the approach I take when I think about governance, is I actually started looking up, and I think we talked about some of this before, the sprawl and the effects of sprawl, and how cities, big cities, can have sprawl or not have sprawl, as well as smaller cities. You can have a smaller city that has sprawl or doesn't have sprawl, because it's not necessarily the size of your environment or how many teams you have, but it's more about what those controls and limits are that you place on teams. Just like certain cities, like New York, for example, has the least amount of sprawl because it's well planned out. They have controls, limits, they have those boundaries and guidelines put in place to prevent some crazy sprawl of New York City. And that same thing kind of applies to your teams, to help you manage it, to keep in control of it, to keep it secure, to keep everything in compliance, is how do you put those different controls and those different limits in place? And what are those different controls and limits that are available for teams to really help you manage that sprawl and help you grow your team's environment? And some of this applies to even your Office 365 environment as a whole, in a manner that you're not going to have all the wild, wild west of Teams and SharePoint sites and all these resources that maybe you don't have any idea what's being shared in them. Maybe you don't have any idea what people are capable of doing within them in terms of features that are allowed or content that's being stored. So kind of that top to bottom approach of here's how you can really help control all these different aspects that come into play when you think about managing Microsoft Teams in your environment.
I love the analogy of urban planning, like, because there's so many ways you could go with it. Do you want to create a metropolis that you can get around easily and maybe you have really good transit systems? Do you want to create something that's maybe a little bit more friendly to people to be able to walk around and not die when they're crossing the street? Right. So kind of how do we get from team to team and navigate our way through? Like, do you want to be quick about it? Mosey your way through. It's a different way to get into it.
It really was. And I didn't start out creating this presentation with that in mind, but as I got into it, I was like, this is really interesting how the comparison of the city planning, the urban planning, how all of that actually translates to an Office 365 environment.
Cool. So let's get into it, because I think it's fun to kind of figure out what that balance is, right? Between everybody having no limits, wild, wild west. And then, you know, what are some logical limits or gates that you want to put in place to slow people down and make sure they can enjoy this nice landscape that you've built?
And that was that other point I hit, is at the end of the day, your goal isn't to prevent your teams, because you also have this whole concept of the shadow IT where people are spinning up Slack and Dropbox and Google Drive, all because that's easier because you've put so many gates in place. And that's not your goal, is to create shadow IT by hampering your users, but really to encourage growth within the environment and finding that balance of, hey, we're going to lock everything down and nobody's going to be able to do anything, so they're going to go find everything else, versus, hey, there's absolutely nothing here and it's just going to grow like crazy. Mover is a cloud migration company that specializes in moving your company's files from file servers or cloud storage like Box, Dropbox, and Google into Office 365. Their patented technology makes Mover the fastest OneDrive file migrator in the world. Moving dozens of terabytes of data a day is a breeze. Use Mover's free, industry-leading migration guides, or ask for a managed migration and they'll take the lead. With Mover, all your data is secure and intact. Running completely behind the scenes, you don't lose time, money, or hair while you transfer. Scan, plan, migrate, report. Migrations that don't suck with Mover. Visit mover.io for more info. In the agenda of this session, I went through four different things. So I started first off with what's Microsoft Teams, because we've talked about this before. We did it at one of the Ignite conferences, I think like 2.5 years back now, about what makes up Microsoft Teams. And then I kind of dove into the Teams lifecycle, creating Teams, deleting Teams, archiving Teams, and then governing that Teams functionality. What are your users allowed to do or not allowed to do in Teams? And then finally governing the content that gets put in Teams, whether it's chats or files. How do you really manage all that content that gets created within Teams? And you need to keep control of that content as well.
So just a couple of things going on, right?
Just a couple. It was funny. So some people figured out, some people know, some people didn't, is that all of these sessions for the Team Summit were pre-recorded. So I did mine like 2 weeks before the summit, sent it off to Mark so he can get everything loaded, tested, all of that. Well, about halfway through my session, somebody was like, can you please talk a little bit slower? I can talk slower, but it's not really going to affect the video that you're watching right now.
Secrets. About that.
But all that to say, there was a lot of content. So I was talking rather rapidly to get through it all. So kind of before the whole governance thing, is that what is Teams? And again, you and I talked about this. We can point to another podcast episode from a couple years back, and it hasn't changed a whole lot. They have made some minor modifications to some of the services, especially as they've transitioned from, or as that transition continues to occur from Skype to just Teams and actually getting rid of Skype for Business. There's still going to be some Skype for Business services on the background or back end, but those are fading away. But really, to understand Teams, you have to realize that it's made up of those Office 365 groups for security of your teams. You have OneDrive and you have SharePoint for your files. Files are not Teams files. They are files in SharePoint. Teams does not have a spot to store your files. I have heard that one a bunch of times lately too, is should we use SharePoint or should we use Teams and files? At the end of the day, it's SharePoint and OneDrive. You have Azure AD for all your users. You have some of those Skype for Business things on the back end around, especially some of the voice, the PSTN calling. And then you still have Exchange mailboxes for those calendars for some of the incoming email that you can set up in Teams. And then you have a whole bunch of Azure services running it. And the governance aspect really doesn't come into play with the Azure. It's more the Exchange, the Azure AD, the SharePoint, OneDrive, Office 365 groups. All of those things are those different components you need to think about. When you really start thinking about governance and what under the covers, what's driving Teams and even different locations you may have to go in and make certain settings and certain changes to, just because Teams leverages those. And if you make certain settings in Teams, you may want to make sure SharePoint is behaving in a similar manner.
Yeah, I think that's one of the biggest takeaways anybody could have for Teams and thinking about governance behind it is you're not so much trying, like when you dive into all these constructs, it's really, you're able to control Teams, right? It's SaaS product and you have knobs and levers and things like that. But ultimately you're going and diving into those individual workloads, which Teams is just an aggregator for. So it's built on top of all of that calling functionality or all of the mailbox functionality inside Exchange or file with SharePoint or maybe calendaring in Exchange or maybe even over in like another like side workload like Planner, things like that. So you just have to know that Teams is the aggregator. It might be the place where your users interact with the data, but where the data lives is where you actually need to govern it.
Right. And if you look at this chart, and we can find a link to the blog post where they have this slide. But if you look at the slide and you look at the backend services that drive Teams, there are three blocks on this diagram from Microsoft that actually are Microsoft Teams services. And then there's 12 of them that are Azure and Office 365. So the majority of Teams, when it comes to that content, like you said, isn't actually Teams. It's all these other Office 365 services. So diving into the Teams creation, this is the place I started because at the end of the day, this is going to really help prevent or create a bunch of sprawl is thinking about how people create Teams within your environment. Out of the box, if you just go spin up Office 365, there's a few different ways Teams can get created. One of these is just in the Teams client. You have the add a team, create a team, type in a little bit of information, and you have a team. By default, nothing is going to be blocking users from doing this. You can go into your Teams admin center in your admin.microsoft.com, create Teams there. That's obviously going to be limited to those people that have admin access to your Teams admin center. And then the other way, especially if you've had Office 365 for a while, is if you have a bunch of Office 365 groups and you navigate to a SharePoint site that has been created as a result of creating an Office 365 group, down in the lower left-hand corner now you have upgrade this group to a team. And then all of a sudden you have an Office 365 group that becomes a team. That one, what we talked about or what I talked about in my session is that one is a little bit harder to control because at that point in time, when you start talking about gating this team's creation and limiting it to a certain users, what you're really doing is limiting Office 365 group creation to a specific AD group. So if you're years down the road and you already have a bunch of Office 365 groups and you want to limit those from becoming teams, there you don't really have a whole lot of options there. Maybe you could come up with some CSS to try to hide that on the SharePoint site. But at that point in time, if you already have a sprawl from Office 365 groups. It's going to be, let's limit it from this point forward. And now we're going to have to go back in and do some cleanup of these Office 365 groups, because we've kind of already missed the boat in terms of controlling that creation. Now, once you've put that gate in place, you've limited it to your Office 365 groups. Now you have a little bit more control over how teams get created. And this doesn't mean that you have to not allow users to create teams or make them go through some complicated process. It just means you get to control the process now. So maybe that is something as simple as they just have to put in a service desk ticket and it gets sent over to your IT team. They go through the Teams admin center and go create a Teams forum that way. Maybe they're the ones that have those they're in that Office 365 security group that is allowed to create Office 365 groups. They create those. Or if you want to kind of hand it off to those users a little bit more, you start integrating some front-end form for requesting sites. It could be a SharePoint list with Power Apps like we've talked about before, tie that in with Flow or Logic Apps and some PowerShell and Azure Automation. That can be a fairly simple way, and it's not necessarily maybe requesting any more information than they'd have to put in when they click to create a team in the team's client. But now you have a SharePoint list where you start teaching them, hey, go actually look through this SharePoint list. Make sure you're not creating a duplicate team. Maybe it's just as simple as putting an approval in place with the flow so that all IT has to do is go in and approve it, make sure they're not creating something they shouldn't. And then maybe it also allows you to do some of those things like templatize your teams or add or remove certain functionality from your teams. You get a whole bunch more options that way because now you're putting some extra functionality and controls around that creation process. And then if you really want to get crazy, you can even do like a custom app. So I work with a developer who does some work for me because I'm not a developer. And he's actually gone so far as to create like a custom Teams app where you have your form in Microsoft Teams where within Teams, you can go to this tab in Teams, go request a new team, put some controls in place there, give you a list where you can manage all these teams, manage some of that lifecycle of teams, and then even start tying in some of the reporting functionality because this is all custom, whether it's doing your own reports, pulling in some Power BI reports, but then doing reporting on these teams and bundling that whole management of teams into an app that actually sits within your Microsoft Teams environment. He's even started tying in stuff with bots so you can request a new team through bots, but a lot of different options there again to put some of those controls in place around that creation of your Microsoft team.
So just a couple of things going on there.
Just a few things going on there. As IT professionals in the cloud era, sometimes it feels like we don't speak the same language as the rest of the organization. So when stakeholders from finance or other departments start asking about a specific project or team's Azure costs, they don't always realize how much work is involved in obtaining that information, sifting through cluttered CSVs and a complex mess of metadata in order to manually create custom views and reports. It's a real headache. On top of helping you understand and reduce your organization's overall Azure spend, ShareGate Overcast lets you group resources into meaningful cost hubs and map them to real-world business scenarios. This way, you can track costs in the way that makes most sense with your corporate structure, whether it's by product, business unit, team, or otherwise. It's a flexible, intuitive, and business-friendly way of tracking Azure infrastructure costs, and it's only available in ShareGate Overcast. Find out more on ShareGate.com/ITPro.
I think it's really hard to limit the creation of groups today. You almost have to just live with it that they're going to be there in some way, shape, or form. Because like you said, you're not limiting just the creation of teams. We're talking about Office 365 groups. So if you want to use that functionality, there's licensing features that you need to have. So to use that, you know, limiting group creation to a security group in your Azure Active Directory, that requires Azure AD premium licenses for the admins who configure the settings and for the actual users who are going to create groups through that security group, that gate, right? That control mechanism.
Yep.
So there's a little bit of premium licensing that you may require to do that. It's just basically at that point, the people who need to create groups now need premium licensing. And maybe you can overcome that. But once you've done that, now that you're limiting the creation of groups, well, Teams is just a part of groups. You're also limiting the creation of pure Office 365 groups for Outlook. Maybe you were doing SharePoint Teams, right? That kind of like weird construct that sits there. That Office 365 group site with, you know, you're using it just for SharePoint. Could be Staff Hub, Planner, Power BI, who knows, right? Whatever product comes out next that's built on top of that group's construct. So it doesn't just stop you from creating Teams. It stops you from creating new SharePoint team sites. It stops you from creating just those pure kind of Outlook-based Office 365 groups. Yammer, who cares? Planner, Power BI, all that stuff just goes away. Now that has to be part of your process too, right? So that custom app to all of a sudden go ahead and request a new team, it needs to be a custom app to request all those other things
everything.
Too.
Yep. And that's the approach I've even taken to with Power Apps. And we haven't built everything into it, but it's go create an Office 365 group, which pretty much gives you all of that other stuff. You start with that group. And then, here's a checkbox if you want to actually add the Teams functionality onto it. Or like we've said, once you had the group, users can actually take their group as long as they're an owner of that group and create a team from the group.
Yeah, they can teamify it at that point. It's not a problem.
Yes.
Because the group was the underlying construct that had to be there in the first
limiting.
Place. Yep. To enable you to run it through.
Exactly. So another nice thing too with this Teams creation that they've come out with recently is, there's a whole bunch of, I'm going to run out of my time again. Is team templates. So now you have these team templates too, and they have them for a few different sectors now. They have some retail templates, some education templates, some healthcare templates, and then you can actually build your own custom templates off of some of these. So if you go in and create these templates, you can take the pre-built ones that Microsoft has, and within those four sectors or so, I think they have like 8 or 9 templates. These can only be created right now via PowerShell, via the REST API. But once you have them, you can build that in. And these templates actually help you control like the base template type, team names, descriptions. You can configure settings, favorite channels, what tabs or apps are pre-installed, a template for the SharePoint site. So just like you could create site templates for SharePoint, now you can actually do team templates and really set that, give that template for all the teams that get created in your organization so that when you go into support one of your lowercase teams that are using uppercase teams, you have that uniform look, that uniform structure with across all of your teams, or maybe it's just teams in a certain segment. Maybe every project that you do in your company gets its own team for the people working on that project, and you want all your project teams to have the same configuration, these same settings, these same apps and tabs that they can leverage. Maybe it's based on third-party products you guys have leveraged. If you do, for some reason, use Trello besides Planner for task management, or you want to integrate in any number of those other third-party services, using these templates can give you a little bit more of a solid starting place that's custom configured for your organization. Because you can take any one of these sector team templates, you can add your own stuff to it, customize them, tweak them a little bit to fit your needs.
Which is the place you probably want to be, because now that, you know, maybe limiting creation's a little bit of a weird idea, how do you, like you said, make it adhere to those standards? Well, you give people a template. So you still have the form, they go request it, they spin it up, and then it creates with your properties. And I think those templates are, they do some nice things because you can control your team settings, maybe, you know, what's the guest policy for that team, right? Can we add external guests? What a membership look like? Do we allow at mentions? All that kind of stuff. You can also control team visibility. So whether those are public or private teams and how they manifest themselves within your environment. And then, like you said, the ability to bring in maybe pre-installed apps or just pin a bunch of tabs and have them all ready to go. So now that project template or, you know, that internal lowercase t team template, whatever it is, or maybe you have multiple templates, right? That's also a possibility.
Yep.
Spins up and just gets things to where they need to be from a baseline. And then you can focus on training users for post-baseline because you've still got to do all the adoption and training and all those other things that come along with it.
Exactly. And then that brings us all the way around to once you're done with a team, what do you do with it?
Delete it.
Delete it? Are you sure? You don't want to archive it?
No. No. Who needs to archive things?
Come on. Think retention. Legal obligations, Scott, to not delete content.
Legality. Here we go.
I know. I'm not a lawyer. But you just say legality and it extends the conversation.
Yeah. Just go to our legal forever. Advice on Reddit and then leave us out of it.
Yeah. No, you do have a couple options though when you're done with a team. You can either archive teams or delete teams. Right now, archiving and deleting can only be done by team owners, or you, if you're the team's admin, you can go do it from the team's admin center. But archiving actually takes your entire team, makes it a read-only team, and it doesn't even necessarily remove it from the team's client. You can still see it there, but it is now labeled as an archived team. And all of those back-end services, SharePoint, the Exchange mailbox, chat, all of that becomes read-only, so you can't update that team. It's essentially saved as it is in place for you to go back and reference, access, look at, audit, whatever your needs may be. And then you can also go in and actually restore these from an archive at any time. So there is no time limit on how long a team can be archived. It will just sit there indefinitely. It will be taking up space and resources, especially when it comes to like SharePoint storage space. But that is an option if you do have some of those obligations to maintain all of that content for a certain amount of time. Maybe you don't want to necessarily use retention policies in teams, which is a whole other topic that we can get into. But that's the archive option. And then deleting teams is doing that. You go in, you delete the team. It does a soft delete of the team and all of the services associated with that team. So SharePoint, Exchange mailboxes, planner plans, everything that was a part of that team or associated with that Office 365 group that is associated with that team gets soft deleted, which means you can go in and recover it for 30 days. This is one that can actually surprise people because I have seen it where someone creates a team, they go assign a bunch of permissions to it, it creates the SharePoint site. Now they go in and add some permissions just to the SharePoint site because you can do that. And people start using the SharePoint site without realizing it's associated with the team. Someone goes in and deletes the team and all of a sudden everybody's like, where'd my SharePoint site go?
Never happens.
Well, no, that or Planner. Well, you see, somebody deleted the team that actually created that SharePoint site, and there goes the SharePoint site.
Yeah, a group is a group, of course, except, of course, when that group is a team.
Yeah, so much fun. And if you realize that after 30 days, sorry, you're out of luck. 30 days after that initial soft delete, team and all the data that was associated with that team is gone for good. It went bye-bye.
Which is where that archive piece really becomes your friend, because like you said, it's not a deletion. It's just a make all the things read-only, should you choose to make them read-only. Like there's a little checkbox in there, right? Even to say, you know, archive the team, make SharePoint read-only too, so that it sits at the place it's supposed to be. But then there is none of that auto-delete. It's a manual process on you at that point. Or maybe you build some automated process around it. But either way, the process is on you to figure it out versus soft delete and oops, it went away. And then like the other issues you run into where, oh, you deleted the site and it was soft deleted, but then somebody went and created a new group or a new SharePoint site and it had that URL now. So what do you do with that? Do you have to migrate content? Like even like in-tenant migration of content can be a little bit weird sometimes, because you might not have the third-party tooling you need to make that happen.
Yep.
Just all sorts of fun.
Well, and that's another good point too, is it doesn't just go from Teams and trickle down. It can also go from the SharePoint site and trickle up. Because if you delete a SharePoint site that was created as a result of an Office 365 group, it does also give you that warning of, hey, this is associated with the group. All the group stuff also gets deleted.
Yeah.
So It is a, everything is connected.
Yeah.
It's all one.
Yeah. Where'd that mailbox go that I was using in Outlook? We didn't know you were using that mailbox. We were using it as a SharePoint site.
Yeah.
Now my planner thing went away. What happened? Oh, you were using that?
And my Power BI dashboards. Although they have fixed the Power BI one now. I know we have a listener question from, I think BJ sent in one about Power BI. Complete side tangent. BJ, we have your question. We're just trying to figure out some time, either with Scott or I need to go look into some things, or we have to find somebody that knows slightly more Power BI than we do, and then we will get to your question. We have not forgotten you. And there's one other question out there too, that same boat. We haven't forgotten you. But Power BI, they did fix where you can go in and switch stuff around now. So you can create a Power BI workspace without creating an Office 365 group. It used to be every time a Power BI workspace got created, you got a group with it. And same thing, if you limited group creation, you limited Power BI workspaces, they gave you a way now to actually go in and break that connection so that you can get Power BI workspaces and it doesn't necessarily have to be associated now to an Office 365 group.
Huh, I'll have to go play around with that one.
Yeah, go look at that one. I can send you some links. We can put some links in the show notes. And then you can pull them out of the show notes. Maybe you should go listen to your own podcast and learn about Power BI.
Imagine that.
Opsgility is disrupting cloud training as we know it with their on-demand platform, SkillMeUp. Their new design focuses on a user flow to better support role-based learning paths with these great new features. Real-time, hands-on labs are now included with each subscription to build your skills competence. Hundreds of cloud courses with more added daily to transform your skills for today's cloud-first careers. Role-based learning paths guide you through associated level courses in an easy-to-view layout and tracker. Microsoft Azure and Microsoft 365 certification prep courses and labs to support you leading up to exam day. Learn more and start your free 3-day trial at www.skillmeup.com. So that was all about Teams creation and lifecycle. We didn't even get to the content in Teams and the Teams functionality part of my deck. Maybe we'll have to do a part 2.
Sure. Yeah.
Sure.
We
you want to?
Yeah.
We've got all kinds of stuff lined up that we can talk about.
Yeah. All this to say that it's a very wide topic, right? It's not something that you can necessarily step into lightly. And there's just so many downstream impacts with this one. Like this workload in general of Teams is, once you understand some of the back end parts, I think it gets a little bit easier, but up front it's a lot to wrap your head around and figure out. Yeah. you know how do you administer not just Teams but all these other underlying workloads, and then what's the impact of, oh, I flipped this checkbox here but it breaks this other thing over here which then breaks these 12 other things over here.
Yep, exactly. It really is. And that, I mean, we were going through the session. That's where a flurry of those questions came in. I was literally exhausted when I got done with that hour, because unlike an in-person presentation where you can control the flow of questions and you don't have like 10 people talking at once, when you're doing purely chat-based during a online presentation, you can get 10 questions all at the same time. And there were a lot of questions around this because, like you said, it's a very wide, broad topic that impacts a lot of things. But it was good. But there is a lot here to unpack. So with that, should we go get some real work done?
I suppose. It's another day. Let's do it.
Yeah, I got to go work on an Exchange migration.
Ooh.
Fun times. Yeah, the hybrid environment's all set up. Now we're just working through some domains and testing moving mailboxes.
Sounds like you're living the dream.
Every day that nobody's sick. All right. Enjoy your day, Scott. Talk to you next week.
Thanks, Ben.
If you enjoyed the podcast, go leave us a 5-star rating in iTunes. It helps to get the word out so more IT pros can learn about Office 365 and Azure. If you have any questions you want us to address on the show or feedback about the show, feel free to reach out via our website, Twitter, or Facebook. Thanks again for listening and have a great day.